Heavenly greetings in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for joining us live and direct here on the UOG. We know last week was an opportunity for questions that had been burning people's hearts about their walk with God, about their understanding of the Bible, about how to practically apply the Word of God to our lives. And God gave us the opportunity to attend to some of those questions. And I believe people were highly blessed by pouring out what was in their heart and also listening and receiving the wisdom of God through His Word and by His Spirit. You know, when Peter said to Jesus, "Where will we go? Only you have the words of eternal life." That is the position that we are in today. We have no other refuge than the word of Jesus Christ. And this word is not ordinary word, it's word of spirit and life. Every word of God is spirit and life. And it's the spirit in that word which gives life to every situation we're facing. Whatever situation you're going through right now, is it dead? Is it stagnant? Is it difficult? Is it depressing? It's the word of God that will bring life to that situation. And how does life come? It comes through the life of the Holy Spirit in us. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is the divine author of the Holy Bible. Do you have a question? When we understand something, that's when it will remain with us forever. Something you understand can never leave you. It becomes part of you. And that is why the first work of the Holy Spirit is in understanding.
Good morning, people of God, all over the world watching us. Thank you for your love for Jesus, for your faith in Christ, and for your love for the Word of God. And this is the secret. God hides in His Word. So let's come back to our questions. What is the first question?
So the first question was about John 14, verse 6 and John 6, 43. Please help me understand the revelation knowledge.
Let's read it. Because these are the very words of Jesus Christ. The Lord spoke Himself those words. An apostle John, who was a living witness, recorded these words to us. Jesus is the one speaking. When you read your Bible, you see these words underlined in red. The words that come from Jesus are wrong. Don't forget, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never, never pass away." So let's listen to what the Lord says. Mm-hmm.
Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him." And the other one was
John 6:43.
Okay. Jesus answered and said to them, "Do not murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Okay. Verse 44. "And I will raise him up at the last day."
These scriptures, we read them very often, but let's take them one by one. The first one, Jesus, we all know this is one of the most famous unknown scriptures in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, when Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is the heart of Jesus' message to us today. When Jesus said, "I am the way," this means He is the only way. There is no alternative. When He say, "I am the truth," mean I am the truth where the true light of knowledge comes from. Knowledge of God. That knowledge Jesus Christ is talking about is not literal knowledge, intellectual knowledge, or religious knowledge, but revelation knowledge. I am the life. Which life Jesus is talking about? Of course, Jesus refers to eternal life. Means, I am the way that leads to the truth, that leads to eternal life. No one comes to God except through me. Means Jesus is the foundation, the object of our faith unto salvation, unto righteousness. That's why Apostle Peter, who heard these words of Jesus, said in Acts chapter 14, verse 12, "There is salvation in no other name than in the name of Jesus Christ." The Bible says when we pray to the Father, there's one name we call. In the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 32, it says, right in the Old Testament, Joel chapter 2, 32, Whoever calls the name of the Lord shall be saved. The fulfillment of that scripture is the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he who believes in him as the Son of God, the way to heaven, the highway to heaven, is by faith in the name of Jesus. When you believe in him, when you abide in his word, you will discover the truth that sets you free. That's what Jesus said, I am the truth. Mean, Jesus Christ is the integrity of the revelation of the true God. Go read the Bible. The Bible says, a true God, some say God of truth, the living God who hears and answers prayers. That's what Jesus said. When you come to him, you receive abundant life, eternal life. Now, how do we know God? How do you access to God? How do we receive eternal life? Mean, how do we go to heaven? The passage is Jesus. That's what he said. Now, the scripture says that all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And salvation is to have the revelation of God. When Jesus came to the Samaritan woman, he said, you worship whom you do not know. We worship whom we know, because salvation is from the Jew. What does this mean? You can worship the God you do not know when you don't know whom you are worshiping in spirit and in truth. Jesus came to reveal God in a new name, in a new way, that we should worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the truth he's talking about. If it is not in spirit, it is not in truth.
And so it is all nothing.
Thank you. The way to the spirit is Jesus. I am the way, the narrow way, the way of the spirit. To enter that way, you need revelation. For that revelation to come, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of God that revealed to you who Jesus is and lead you to the path of righteousness, to the path of salvation. And when you're looking for salvation in spirit and in truth, you will meet him. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 34, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. What is the truth? Bible says, whoever commits sin is slave to sin. But whom the Son of God sets free is free indeed. Mm-hmm. Now, the way to salvation, no one by self-righteousness can be qualified before God. No act of religious act of man can make us worthy before God, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Mm-hmm. Mean, we can come before God with act of religious, lifting our hands, but without purity of heart. Mm-hmm. The requirement of the purity of heart must come. It can only come when you accept Jesus to cleanse you of all sin. Jesus came to lay down his life for the salvation of souls. And we have access to God through him by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2:8. That's why I say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you come to me, you will know the truth. If you come to me, you have eternal life. That's what Jesus said. And now, the next verse he adds.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him.
Oh, my Lord.
And I will raise him up at the last day.
What does this mean?
How does the Father draw you, draw your heart?
Go to John chapter 6, verse 45, since you're there.
It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God.
They shall be taught by God.
Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me.
Thank you. If you heard from the Holy Spirit, you know who Jesus is. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will open the eyes of your heart to know who Jesus is. It is grace. When Jesus met Simon Peter, come, follow me, they follow him. He met the sons of Zebedee. Come, they drop everything and follow him. Why? Because their eyes were open to know whom this man is. That is discernment. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will help you to know who Jesus is. That's why the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's the meaning, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me explain. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict you of sin, and you will discover your need for God. You will discover how sin bad, how bad sin is. He will convict you of sin. Mm. You say, ah, what is the way out? Now he will convict you of righteousness. Means Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Mm. 1 Corinthians 1:30, God made him to be salvation, sanctification, righteousness for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29 to 30. Now, Holy Spirit will help you to accept Jesus by faith. Mm. The Spirit of God leads us to repentance. It's a gift from God. The Holy Ghost gives us the faith to believe in Jesus as the Son of God.
So when it says that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, it means the Spirit of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit, draws our heart to Jesus by first of all opening our heart to the realization that we need a Savior.
Thank you.
That we're sinners.
Thank you. Now go to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3.
Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit.
That is it. Mm. I mean, no one can confess Jesus Christ genuinely without the help of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will open your heart to know this Jesus is not an ordinary person. He is the Son of God. When the eyes of your faith are opened, Holy Ghost will help you to know who Jesus is. That is why no one can convince you. No one can save you. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Mm-hmm. When he comes to you, he will reveal to you who Jesus is. Mm-hmm. And he will change your life. I mean, he will give you faith to believe that Jesus is Lord. And then he will baptize you and change your life forever. And eternal life starts. Mm-hmm. There is no alternative to Christ. He's the foundation and the object of our faith. You must know who Jesus is in reality. You must know whom you are and accept him genuinely. And when you do, God sends the Spirit of God into your life. Eternal life starts. And you are linked up with God. God becomes your Father. Amen.
Amen. So we hope that brings revelation knowledge to those two scriptures that you asked about. And they're actually such crucial scriptures. Salvation is for all who are willing, for all who believe. So the question is, do you believe in your heart? Is your heart open to the Holy Spirit? And the first work of the Holy Spirit is to bring that conviction of sin. Remember, to know that you need a Savior. So another question before we go to someone that just asked a question recently, another question that we spoke about earlier, which was quite relevant in this day and age, is as a Christian, how do you avoid spiritual laziness and procrastination?
The answer is you yourself, is your focus. Mm. Look, God will never open the door of victory or wisdom to one who keeps his Bible shut. The question of laziness. What do we call laziness?
We're talking about spiritual laziness.
I'm coming there. Spiritual laziness is failure to play your own role. Mm. There are things that God expects you to do. Okay, this is a year of real movement. God wants to do so many things in your life. God wants to speak to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. He wants to hear your prayer. But what is your duty? Mm. Go to the secret place and pray. Why you do not pray? And that is a problem. You find it difficult to pray, to read the Bible, to come in God's presence. That's the spirit of laziness we're talking about. To pray, to fast is a great test of this flesh. Mm. When you are sleeping, you are tired. When you want to go to bed, Prophet Yeshua taught us this vital lesson. He said, it is when you are tired that you have to go to pray, that God will answer your prayer. Because it's not convenient for you to pray. It's sacrificial. Mm. When you are tired and you want to sleep, you go to pray, God will hear your prayers. You see the genuineness of your faith. We are tired when we engage this body. When you allow this body to dictate your feelings and emotion, and the emotional weight of your body stop you to pray. Mm. And you say, let me go and sleep. I will pray tomorrow. I will fast tomorrow because it's flesh. Spiritual laziness comes from the physical laziness. When the physical laziness affects your mind, it changes your mind and you don't pray. What did the Spirit say? Go and pray. Many a time you are in your bed and you can't sleep. Something is telling you, go and pray. But the body becomes a weight of tons. You have to overcome this body. You have to face it in the name of the Lord. So what do you do? If you know you are weak and circumstances are difficult, what do you do? You ask the Lord, manifest your strength in my weaknesses. We don't have any strength of our own. But God says, pray. Who prays? Your spirit prays. If your body cannot move, pray in your heart. And that's the issue of meditation. We only believe in the prayer of mouth. If you believe in the prayer of mouth, you'll be tired very soon and stop praying. But let your heart be in prayer. If truly you are tired, you can't move, you're in your bed, engage your spirit. Begin to pray in your spirit. Believe that God is not deaf and dumb. God is not a man. God does not need your words of your mouth to move you into action. The language of your thigh, the language of your thoughts, God hears and answers what is in your heart. He knows. So please, laziness, when we allow situations, circumstances to prevail over the clock of your heart. What do I mean? Holy Ghost prompt our heart to pray. So anytime you want to do something right, something else will come to distract you.
There's always a battle.
That is why you have to be determined. When you are tired, when this happens, be determined. Say, I will pray. No matter what happens, nothing can stop me from praying. Nothing can stop me from going to church. You are tired. Say, I'm going. That is faith. When you do that, you will receive strength from the Holy Spirit at the time of real movement. In the mix of your weaknesses, strength will come.
And that's why so often as well, we can't ignore disciplining this body as well, you know, because it does go hand in hand. So that's why a wonderful habit that the prophet also taught us was about walking and praying, you know. So as you're walking, you're also praying. And, you know, it keeps your body alert because you're walking. And at the same time, your mind, your soul is alert because you're praying. And, you know, we should understand that everything that is good for us spiritually will always be fought by the flesh, meaning that it's never going to be easy. In the same way, those who train their bodies for sport know that it's not easy, but it's a decision to do, and it's the right decision. So it's just a matter of implementing good habits in your life and knowing the importance that, like, I think the very key thing that you said, as soon as a good intention comes upon you, there'll always be automatically something to counteract that. Oh no, not today. You have something else important to do. No, it's not now. So you just have to be very intentional about it.
I want to add something. If you're a child of God, you have the Holy Ghost, your spirit can never be lazy. It's the body that is lazy. Paul said, I have two laws fighting in me. My spirit desire to do the will of God. Your spirit always want to know God. It is this body. Laziness is this body. That's why Jesus said, carry your cross. What is your cross? Your body is your cross. It's not your brother. It's not people. This body is our enemy. It's a cross. Don't allow this body, this emotion, to dictate the direction of your faith. Your spirit. You can be weak in body, but strong in the spirit. You can be sick in body, but perfect in the spirit. So, it's not this body we engage before God. We engage our spirit. So, as a child of God, what you need to do now to tame this body, renew your mind. If you meditate, your mind, meditate will give you strength in your spirit. The strength starts in the spirit and touch this body. It's the mindset. If you say, this is difficult, it is difficult for you. If you say, it is possible, you will get it. When your mind is focused in line with your thought of your heart, you will do the right thing. If you speak negatively, think negatively, you will act negatively. But if you speak the word of faith in your heart, it will produce an overcoming spirit. And Holy Ghost will give you strength. Before you realize it, that tiredness is gone.
Do you remember that thing that successful people don't just drift to the top? It takes
personal discipline.
Personal discipline.
A lot of effort.
A lot of effort.
A lot of discipline to make it happen. So
every day to make things happen.
The Bible says prayer without ceasing. Keep the fire on. It's not your body, it's your spirit. That's the battle of the ages.
So please make sure you note that there's no such thing as spiritual laziness. It's the laziness of the flesh, which is always battling with the spirit, where the spirit is willing.
But the flesh is weak. That is it.
So therefore, in that encounter, that battle, make sure that you're feeding your spirit so your spirit can be strong. In whatever encounter, whatever battle or confrontation takes place. Thank you so much for that question. Someone called Puxon said, What is the proof of spiritual growth? Is it the knowledge of the word? Is it material wealth? Is it visions and dreams, or hearing God and God hearing you?
Okay, praise the Lord. Let me remind you what our blessed father, Prophet T.B. Joshua, said. Physical growth is a function of time. Mm. As time goes on, everything increases. Whether you are a tree or a human being, the seed grows and you have no control over it. Mm. God makes you grow. Now, intellectual growth is a function of learning. Mm. The more you learn, the more you understand, the more you increase your capacity, ability, instruction to know and discover new things. But spiritual growth is a function of obedience to God. Mm. So the only proof of our faith is obedience. What happens when you obey? Each time God puts in your heart the conviction to do something, and you believe and you act on it and you do it, something will enter your spirit and increase your assurance. Okay, let me tell you. Okay, you are sitting down and something tell you, this person is going to call you. Before you realize the phone rang, bam, this is God. Or something, go and check the kitchen. In your heart, in your mind, you stood up and go to the kitchen and you say, fire is there. You say, thank you, Jesus. I listened to the thought of my heart. And that gives you faith to trust the thought in your heart. Our spirit, our mind must be educated by the words of revelation deep in our conscience. It is now when we hear and obey the consciousness of God begin to grow. To grow in the spirit, the evidence is the fruit of the spirit. Mm. What is the fruit? Faithfulness, kindness. So each time you hear and you obey, faith grows. And faith goes with the fruit of the spirit. Why? Let me explain. We have spirit. We understand that. We have been saying it so many times. When the word of God enters your spirit to give you instruction to do something in your heart, in your conscience, and your spirit acts on it, the problem is I can receive inspiration from God, but I refuse to act. Why? Because my mind is doubting it. Is it from God? I don't think it's from God. Okay, let me take the case of Ananias. When Paul was persecuting the Christian, everybody was running. Everybody ran away out of Jerusalem. They ran to Damascus to find refuge. Saul pursued them to Damascus. When God revealed to Ananias, there's a man called Saul. I want you to go and pray for him. He was shocked. He said, what? This man is a dangerous person. He's killing people. He's doing this. That was his mindset. Jesus said, this man is my chosen vessel. If you were at the place of this man, when you woke up in the morning, what will you say about that dream? Will you say this is a dream from God, or this is a nightmare? This is a trap. If I go, they will kill me. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But he was convinced deep in his heart because it was spiritual maturity came to him. He knew that that word was God speaking. And his mind did not reject it. His mind submitted to the will of God. So now, what causes the man to obey? I believe the Bible says a certain disciple. This was not the first time that Ananias received instruction from God. And if the Lord tells you to do this, you do it, it is true. Second time, you will obey, you know, doubt. Mm. So the more you obey, the more the faith begins to build up into your heart. Mm. So this means Ananias was used to the speaking of the Lord in the dream and know this is God, and he walked and it happened to pass. When Jesus instructed them in Matthew chapter 15, go and take the donkey and bring it to me. It was somebody else's donkey. If you do it here, they can arrest you for theft. But it was an instruction in certainty. They knew the man they were saving. They knew this one, if he says something, it will come to pass. They never doubted the word of Jesus. They went and find things exactly as Jesus said. So now, what's the evidence? Obedience. What is obedience? Faithfulness is there. Obedience is there, kindness. So faith and the fruit of the Spirit has to go together.
And that's the evidence of our spiritual growth.
Yes. Mean you act on the outside, engaging your body to obey instruction, which seems difficult, but you obey it. Go and do this. Go and face the lion. God speaks. You go. God with me today.
So it really is different to a material, fleshly way of looking at things. To be great in this world, is all about the outside.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about what we have, our assets on the outside, our appearance, our fame, maybe this how successful our business is. That's what being great in this world is. But being great in the kingdom of God is different. And I think that's what many people still struggle to understand. Jesus came to give us a way to a new kingdom. And spiritual growth in the kingdom of God, the evidence and proof of that is the marks of the Holy Spirit within you, which means the fruits of the Spirit. Every day we're growing in age. Every day, are we growing in love? Are we growing in patience? Are we growing in faith? Are we growing in humility? Are we growing in endurance? Are we growing in long suffering? Are we growing in faithfulness? These are the questions we should ask ourselves as children of God. And we should avoid the temptation to measure our spiritual growth by anything on the outside. That doesn't mean that Jesus cannot bless us, but there's a purpose for everything. Remember, the Bible even says, have as if you do not have. Meaning any blessing you have in this world, don't set your heart or your mind on it.
So I want to add more to what you're saying. Two examples I gave you. When God appeared to Moses the first time at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, and God said to Moses, go to Egypt. Mm. Don't forget, because of fear of death, he ran away from Egypt. Moses began to argue with God. I can't do this. I'm a stammerer. I am this. God has to speak to him more than four times. Moses said to God, send whom you want to send. And God got angry. God has to use Aaron to be his spokesman. Hmm. He said, you are the one. I will send you, but Aaron will be your spokesman. I will make you like God, and your brother will be your prophet. God go to that extent. What happened to Moses? At that time, his relationship with God was just starting. But when we came in the front of Pharaoh, Aaron did the sign. But soon later, we don't hear Aaron anymore.
Hmm.
We heard Moses to the very end. Moses grow in the spirit.
Mm.
Peter denied Jesus three times because of faith, weakness of faith. But at the Pentecost, he stood face of death to the very end. That's the fruit of the spirit. Mean you endure, you persevere, love, your character be match your faith. When you pray and temptation come, situation come, you will behave as Christ would have behaved. That's the fruit of the spirit. That's the evidence of spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. Godly character.
Exactly. The apostles of old, you know, those who God used to write so many letters and books in this Bible, we don't know them or consider them great because of anything on the outside, but because of the wisdom of God poured through them and because of the character of Jesus in their lives and how they demonstrated that. And how they lived what they believed and made a difference everywhere they went. So the question is, do we truly believe that Jesus lives in us? Do we truly believe that we have the life of Jesus in us?
Okay. Why everybody today have so much deep respect to Prophet Joshua? Why? I said to everyone, if you ask me, what is the greatest gift of this prophet? Humility, the fruit of the Spirit.
Mm.
Go and read the record. I've never seen such man of God, such person who has been so persecuted to that level. This life persecution was so much, but have you ever heard him get out of faith? He stood for what he believed, never answered anybody. That is spiritual maturity. You will never hear him answer back, fighting back, or calling fire on people. He said, if you throw me a stone, I will collect the stone. I will put it at my altar. One day, the Bible says, I will set a table before you in the presence of your enemy. Mm. He said that if I send back to fire, will you be here today? Mm. Many people in the beginning rejected him, but at the end, people came to him. People can speak something because of ignorance. Mm.
The only evidence can ever be the character of Christ in us.
That is it. Many rejected Jesus because of ignorance.
Mm.
Saul rejected Jesus because of spiritual ignorance.
And he was zealous. He was very zealous for what he believed
knowledge.
In. Zeal without knowledge. Zeal without revelation.
That's why the right knowledge of God settles peace. Mm. We need to be humble. When we are humble, the character of Christ is you. Let others insult you, not you. Let them reject you, not you. Let them say all sorts of things against you, not you. The most difficult thing is to remain quiet and leave the battle to God in the face of temptation and false accusation. God looks at the character. Look at how Jesus went to the cross. Go read John chapter 8, what they said about the Lord. They say, you have a demon. They said to Jesus, you are casting out demon by Beelzebub. All sorts of blasphemy against his name. But Jesus never spoke any word out of character.
It's true. I mean, I think I've shared this before on this platform, but I'll never forget there was a disciple meeting where Prophet T.B. Joshua told us, you know, if you want to be great in the kingdom, it's not about maybe eating locusts and honey or fasting and praying for days on end and maybe living in the wilderness. To be great in the kingdom of God, you are great in the kingdom of God if you have no heart for offense.
That is it.
And he said it, and he meant it, and he lived it. And it's easy to say, but when you are offended, it's very difficult to practice because it feels as if you're the only one that's ever been wronged. And that is where the fruit of the Spirit kicks in. And that is where we have to ask ourselves, are we growing spiritually? So, yes, do you have any heart for offense in your life?
Remember what we say, are you ready to be a dustbin?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That question, that message is actually on the app. It's not on YouTube yet. So.
Don't take us back. Are you ready to be a dustbin?
It's an internal message.
You know dustbin? You throw the thing you don't like.
Yeah.
When somebody says, you are stupid. You are nothing. This guy, please, we don't want to see him. They will reject you. But you accept. You keep quiet. You keep quiet. You keep quiet. People throw all sorts of things on him. They spat on Jesus. They insult him to the cross. They say all sorts of things. He kept quiet. You receive the blow. If you slap, give the other one. But one day, they will discover the treasure hidden in the dustbin. They will look at the character of this man. And the person they were rejecting became the cornerstone. The stone which the builders rejected became the cornerstone. That's why don't reject anybody today because of weakness. Tomorrow is mystery. So what matters is what God is saying in the midst of your tests and trials. Slapping somebody is weakness before God. Insulting somebody is weakness before God. For man, it is strength. When you fight back, hey, I'm strong. It's his weakness before God.
No, it's true.
It takes the power of the Holy Spirit to be humble. It takes the power of God to accept this and to remain quiet and to lead the battle to God.
And sorry, as you're talking about weakness, another thing came to my mind that the prophet said. He mentioned that, you know, to laugh is not a weakness, but laughing too much can become a weakness. To talk is not a weakness, but talking too much can become a weakness. Anything you do overdo, it can become a weakness, which is why we need the Holy Spirit to balance our life, to balance our character, to moderate us. Because naturally, we're full of weaknesses, naturally. And so that is why the Holy Spirit comes into our life, comes into our heart with the aid of creating a holy character like Jesus.
That is it.
So thank you for that question. Someone saying, there was a day I was hearing a sermon from Prophet T.B. Joshua. He was teaching that pray against your weakness. If you pray for something else, God will not hear you. Okay. No, he was just giving an example. He was just giving an example about the importance of understanding character of Jesus. Character of Jesus.
So pray for your weakness. What is weakness?
Pray against your weakness.
That's it. The Bible says you have no strength of your own. There's one song we say, Holy Spirit.
I have no
power of my own.
Power of my own.
Mm-hmm.
I have no power of my own. Holy Spirit, come and take control.
Help me. I have no
power
of my own. What does it mean? God never asks you to look at you to see how much are your faith or strength you have. He asks you to look to Jesus and take from him the strength you need.
That was it.
That's it. That's humility.
I look upon thee. Help me. I have no power of my own.
So what does the prophet mean when he says pray for your weakness? Look. No one comes to Jesus in strength. If you have not discovered yourself, you can never discover God. If you have not discovered your weakness, you will never see your need for God's strength. If you say you are strong, you don't need God, I have everything, you don't know you are weak. But those who recognize their weakness are the poor in spirit.
Yeah, because they know they need God.
They need Jesus. And the Lord will give them strength. Remember that quote? How strange, but wholly true. How strong the weak is, the Father does. What does it mean? The weak run to Jesus for help.
How strange, yet wholly true. The weak filled with power, the Father's work shall do.
And that's the work the Lord's doing. Mean, let's run to God for help. Don't run away from God. When you run to Him in the midst of your weakness, strength will come. When you know that you are a sinner, don't condemn yourself. Run to the Savior. He will save you. Don't forget at the cross, Jesus took the curses of the cross to bless you. He took away our infirmities to heal you. He was rejected at the cross for you to be accepted. He laid down His life to give us His own. He's our substitution. So please run to Jesus. We're strengthened. And we can say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So weakness can be a blessing if it leads you to faith, if it leads you to Jesus.
That sermon, if you want to watch it again, it was all about the importance of understanding the character of Jesus in us rather than asking God for things. Realizing that we need Jesus, asking for mercy and favor, and that really is the prayer. Look at the difference between the prayer of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You know, the Pharisee stood on the corner of the street and began to say, oh, I thank you that I'm like this and I'm not like this, and began to praise himself. But the tax collector, it was a prayer of humility and repentance. And that is what Jesus heard, and that is what Jesus acted upon. Brendan Carey said, is it possible to lose the baptism of the Holy Spirit after God baptized you?
The answer for B is clear and certain without any doubt. Never. Absolutely no. If God give you and seal you with the Holy Spirit, you are free indeed. Let's go to John chapter 14. We have to know this because there's a big confusion today. People are arguing on the internet that can you lose your salvation or not? I've answered that question very well. If you are truly saved, you have the seal of the Holy Ghost, you are free indeed. You cannot lose it. But there's a difference between somebody who is in the process and somebody who's baptized. John chapter 14, verse 16.
And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever.
The helper will abide with you forever. Holy Spirit will abide with you forever. He will never leave you. You can only overcome sin by the power of the Holy Ghost in you, righteousness and fruit of the Spirit. And you become overcomer forever. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 to 30.
And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption.
For the day of redemption. Which redemption are we talking about? The first redemption of our soul, we receive Holy Spirit. He talked about the redemption of this body, which happened at the last day. If God can seal you with the Spirit forever, the Holy Ghost will be the plane that will take you to eternity when you leave this world. You are sealed with God forever. Eternal life has started. The question, we are confusing two things. Because the term baptism, that brings confusion. If I said the gift of the Holy Spirit we receive when we are genuinely saved, we have the seal of the Holy Ghost, you become born again, become a child of God, the nature of God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Holy Ghost in you, the overcomer in you, you overcome the world because He dwells in you. Before God gave you the Holy Spirit, God will screen your future. The difference between man and God, man can just take an action based on now without knowing what happened tomorrow. That's why disappointment comes. But God, He sees the future before He gives you the Holy Spirit. God will look at your heart to see whether you believe for salvation's sake. Seek first the kingdom. If somebody comes for selfish, classic, and material reason, he will never receive the Holy Ghost forever. But in mercy, somebody can be filled with the Holy Ghost in this journey before he receives the baptism of the Holy Spirit. One can be filled with the Holy Ghost without being baptized. That person is in the process until they receive heavenly acceptance from God. When the time comes, God give them the Spirit. Read Act 8. These people were filled with power to do something, but the character was not filled. Righteousness has not yet come. So I'm telling the truth. If you have the evidence of the seal of the Holy Spirit, born again, you are saved indeed. The Son of God set you free indeed. But if somebody like Judah in the beginning,
Judas
Iscariot, they were only being filled. The Holy Ghost has not come yet forever. Jesus said, he is with you. He will be in you. Is somebody, when the conversion is questionable, when the person's belief was not right, or you believe for selfish reason, that will not guarantee the Holy Ghost coming to you. God will look at your heart. You must be ready. Your heart must be pure before you receive it.
Or someone that says, for example, oh, I don't believe anymore, you know, because maybe they faced a hard time. And suddenly they say, oh, I'm not a Christian anymore. I don't believe. You know, that means their conversion was questionable.
Right? Yes. Such person in the beginning, okay, somebody has a zeal. He start coming, you work in the ministry and they give assignment.
It can be spiritual, feelings and emotions.
Holy Ghost can just fill you to help you to accomplish the assignment given to you. When you work under a ministry to help a person, he can give an assignment to when I was beginning, I started as a junior prophet, It was an assignment given to me to help pray for people. This Spirit of God was upon me just to carry that assignment. That does not make me a prophet in the beginning. I was serving him. So when I go to pray for people in the name of Jesus, people were healed because I was serving him. Later, give us more grace. Now, after you get into faith, you have to wait for God to give you the Spirit for your life. And when he endowed with the Spirit, he sent you on mission. There are different things. But if your conversion is correct, is right before God, you receive Holy Spirit forever. God is looking at your heart. Can we go to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12? That's why the disciples, Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. They waited in faith until God saw their faith, confirmed their faith, and sent the Spirit in their lives. We have to go through the process. Repentance must be there. Commitment must be there. Faith must be there. All these criteria must be met. And believe in the Son of God and his resurrection from the dead.
Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you.
It is time to seek the Lord till God come and shower righteousness. Mean, sow for yourself righteousness. Open your heart to the word of faith. Faith must be there. Believe in Jesus. Break up your fallow ground and open your heart to the word of the gospel. Believe for salvation. Seek until God give you heavenly acceptance.
So what you mean is many of us actually are still in the process to salvation.
Because such a person, his faith must be in line with the Bible teaches. You must meet the condition given in the word of God for salvation. You can't be saved without the word of God. Faith must be there. You must have faith to be saved before you become a Christian because you receive the Holy Spirit baptism. It's an act of faith. Faith in Jesus. Believing with your heart genuinely for salvation's sake. Believe for eternal life, not for money. Believe in heaven's sake and believe his resurrection and accept me as your Lord and Savior. A commitment of pure heart and conscience. When God sees that, he will send the Holy Spirit to abide in you forever. You become a new creation. You become a child of God and you lead, led by the Spirit of God in your life. If you are sealed, you have it forever.
So I think this is very, very deep, but I think it's important for people to understand. Many of us were on the process to salvation.
But you know when you have it. The Bible said the Spirit will bear witness to your spirit and say you are a child of God. If you are saved, if you have Holy Spirit, you yourself, you know. The fruit of the Spirit will come. There are things you used to do before you don't want to do anymore. You are growing in character. You are growing in knowledge. In the midst of persecution, in the midst of difficulty, you remain faithful to God. The character of God grows in you. That is, you will know them by their fruit.
And that is the journey of righteousness.
That's the journey of righteousness. So you have to grow spiritually. And you know yourself. You know, because there are things you don't want to do anymore in your life. You are ready to forsake all unrighteousness to embrace the word of truth. You remain faithful. You remain humble. And ask God now to give you more of his grace every single day of your life.
Okay, someone's asking, I thought once we believe, Holy Spirit comes. Now I'm confused.
Let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 5. What do you call by believe? It's your heart that believes, not your brain. If the belief is genuine and true, God looks at the heart, he will give you. You must believe in what? What is the foundation of your belief?
And it happened while Apollos was in Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?
Thank you. That's the question. Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? How did you know you received the Holy Ghost when you believed? When Paul saw them, he saw something was lacking in their worship. He saw the worship was, they were in the church, they were worshiping, they were praying.
But according to them, they believed Jesus.
They believed. No, listen. Did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? That's the contrary reading.
So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.
Now, how can you receive what you ignore? We never knew there is a Holy Spirit. That's what they said. And I mean, the doctrine was not correct. The knowledge was not correct. If your faith is in the wrong doctrine, how can you receive the Holy Spirit? You must abide in the word to the true doctrine for salvation's sake, for eternal life, led by the Holy Spirit. That's why we say nobody comes to Jesus unless the Holy Ghost lead you in spirit and in truth. So, continue reading. Why they did not receive the Holy Ghost? That's the question. Listen, continue.
So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized?
Okay, what kind of baptism did you receive? Listen to what they said.
So they said, into John's baptism.
Mean baptism of water. That does not guarantee. They only knew the baptism of repentance of John. And John said, it's not John the Baptist that will give the Holy Spirit. Only Jesus Christ gave Holy Spirit. That was the first question we say. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Only Jesus Christ can baptize in the Holy Spirit. No man can do it for you. If your faith in him is genuine, Jesus is your heart and give you the Spirit. Continue reading.
Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him. That
Thank
is
you.
On Jesus
Your faith
Christ.
Should be on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You must believe what Jesus did at the cross for you. You must believe he's the Son of God. You must believe he's your Savior, your personal Savior, and must be convinced yourself that the message of Christ is true for your life. You come to him, you confess your sin, you embrace him and accept to be Lord and Savior and believe in his resurrection from the dead that he's alive. If you fulfill all the conditions, God looks at your heart, God sends the Holy Spirit to you. No human being can baptize you in the Spirit. Baptizing in water, anybody can do it. But to immerse your spirit into God's spirit, only Jesus does it. That's why you say, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If your faith is correct, if your knowledge is correct, you are in the living church, in the right doctrine, you receive it. But in this case, they only believe in John the Baptist. Their teaching was wrong. So Paul has to reset their belief in Christ, and then they receive it.
When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them.
At last, Holy Ghost came.
And they spoke with tongues and prophesied.
Can't you imagine that? Because Paul was baptized in the Holy Ghost. He was a genuine apostle who knew the doctrine very well. But today, we have so many denominations. We have so many doctrines. God, Holy Spirit can only prove the word of God that comes from him. Holy Spirit can only testify to the truth of the word of God. So you must know this Bible. You must believe this Bible. Your faith should be on Jesus Christ himself. There is salvation in no other one. No doctrine. The only doctrine of the Bible said here, the Bible says, if you believe, Romans chapter 10, that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart, you receive his resurrection from the dead. Now, who can confirm your faith? Only God. Who can see your heart? Only God. So you have to examine yourself. If your character, if your life does not reflect the truth of the gospel, examine yourself. Go to the scriptures. So we should know the Bible and meet the condition given in the Bible for salvation's sake. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, soul, and spirit. If that faith is for eternal life, you will receive it. That's what the Bible says. Thank you.
Someone is asking, can you have the Holy Spirit and continue living in sin?
You can't have Holy Ghost and continue to live in sin. We don't practice sin. But you can have Holy Ghost and make a mistake. That's what Prophet Jesus say. When you are a believer, it's not sin, it is wrong. Let me explain. In the book of Acts chapter 2, Peter received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the seal. Right? But you can see in the book of Galatians, Paul rebuked Peter publicly because when Peter was with the pagan, as they say, he was eating with them. But when James and others came, he withdrew.
He was being hypocritical.
And Paul say, "Ha, hypocrite! Yeah, why are you doing this? It's not right." Well, let me explain something. When we are saved, we receive the Holy Spirit. We have a new heart, a new conscience. We are children of God. That is for sure. But this body, this your mind, is still there, the same old man. You have to crucify the old man. And that is where the issue is. Now, if you don't feed your spirit, if you don't grow spiritually by hearing, obeying, as we answered in the previous question, where will you get strength to resist sin? When temptation comes, because of fear, if your faith is weak, you can listen to your mind and miss the mark. But the difference, your heart will tell you, this is not good. You quickly run and ask for repentance. You repent before God.
That's how you know you're a child of God.
That's how you know you are saved.
When you want to be forgiven, when you like the issue of King David in that book of Psalm 51, you know, his sin was always before him. He couldn't move on unless he'd received forgiveness from God for that sin. He wanted to be forgiven. He knew that the relationship had been affected with God. And that is why he knew that the most important thing was to be cleansed from his sin.
Mm-hmm. That's why if we don't practice sin, you can make a mistake, you can make a wrong, but immediately, Holy Ghost will convince you, repent and continue.
Yeah, it should not be our trademark. It should not be our habit. It's something which we can make a mistake and instantly we realize it's a mistake and then
okay, let me just
reconcile with God.
Do you remember that, what they say? If you sin, your seat is empty, but your place is there forever. Nobody can take it from you. But you can leave God's presence. The fellowship is broken because your heart is not in the right mood.
But your seat is still there.
Absolutely. Because when your conscience is disturbed, you cannot receive God. You cannot continue to worship. The fellowship is broken. But when you go and repent, God will restore you, come back
and
to his place. And
that is
the journey
what
with
Satan
God.
Never wants us to know, because he doesn't want us to know that our seat is always there. That our seat is still there. That if we come to God, the Bible says if we repent from our sins and if we come to God, we can be cleansed and then that fellowship is renewed and we go back. But Satan doesn't want us to know that. What he wants is what happens to so many people, unfortunately, today is as soon as we make a mistake, we go further away from God. We think we cannot come back. We go further and further and further away. And we leave such a long time before attempting to reconcile. We build up the gap between us and God. And that is just a plan, an agenda of Satan in our lives.
So don't forget, conversion is once in a lifetime. Christ-likeness is forever. What do I mean? When we accept Jesus, we receive Holy Spirit. God's transforming power makes us a new nature. That is done once forever. But to grow in Christ-likeness with the renewal of your mind, with the change of your character, it takes a lifetime. That's why you have to play your own role by reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God, and grow in faith. Day by day, your character changes. We call it the progress of sanctification.
Dying to sin, more and more.
Living for righteousness,
more and more.
You grow. As you grow, more love, more faithfulness comes. It's a part of the journey of life. Thank you. This one says, can you be baptized with the Holy Ghost and yet not speak in tongue? Rasimbusu say, yes. You can have the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues. The evidence of Holy Spirit is not to speak in tongues, this character. We confuse always two things. The empowerment to carry out Christian services, the gift of the Holy Spirit, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, that's power. But the primary reason for receiving Holy Spirit is to become a child of God, to be saved, to have the character of God. When the powers is the power, if God sends you to be an evangelist, you say, Ruth, Racine, go and pray for this person. May God give us authority. Am I right? The power will meet you there. Holy Ghost will come and testify by bringing healing, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, word of prophecy, and to carry out a Christian services to back up your preaching. That's power. Now, Holy Spirit, when it comes upon you, first, if you give it the character of God, you must be born again before Jesus sent you. You must have righteousness before Jesus sent you. It's a different thing. speaking in tongues is not you, it's Holy Spirit. One of the evidence of Holy Spirit sometimes is prophecy. We go to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. One of the evidence of the coming of the Holy Ghost, he can manifest his power. It can be prophecy, not just speaking tongues. It can be any gift of the Spirit.
Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man.
That is it. Chapter 11, verse 6.
Then the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard this news, and his anger was greatly aroused. So he took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout all the territory of Israel, saying, whoever does not go out with Saul and Samuel to battle,
thank you,
so it shall be done to his oxen.
Mm-hmm.
And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent.
When the Holy Ghost came upon him, he gave him supernatural ability. That's when Saul stood and fight the battle. When the Holy Ghost came, he gave him supernatural ability to carry out the mission. That is the powers of Holy Spirit. Gift from the Holy Spirit. The gift of God is Holy Spirit himself at salvation. But the gift of the Spirit comes from the Holy Ghost to back up the Christian mission. Mm. If you pray for people, healing will take place. Word of wisdom comes to back up your word. It's completely different. The manifestation of the Spirit is power. But when you are saved, when the Holy Ghost comes to my heart, I can be saved without speaking in tongues. You can receive the Holy Ghost directly in your heart. How do we know? Your character will testify to it. But if you say speaking in tongues is only evidence, people will doubt their salvation. I received Holy Ghost to become a child of God. In the book of Acts of Apostles, they explain the people, so some speak in tongues, some prophesy, but Holy Ghost can come upon you. You receive a salvation without speaking tongues. It doesn't mean it can happen when it comes to you.
But it's not an evidence.
It's not the evidence.
And also, when you speak in tongues, there should be a result, a spiritual result.
When you go to...
if it's a divine language.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, do all speak in tongues? That's what he said. Mm. Speaking in tongues is a gift. Which tongues are we talking about? Huh? So we have said that already. Go to the message we talk about in the app on the YouTube concerning speaking tongues. You are talking to God. There are different types of languages. So what are we saying? The evidence for me today is... the fruit of the Spirit, righteousness, the character of Jesus in your life.
Thank you. And I think that sums up really all the questions that have been asked and the grace of God to answer these questions today. The proof of our spiritual growth is the character of Jesus in us, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we live, we continue to learn. Remember, we are on a journey, the journey of righteousness. So don't give up. Don't think that, my character's still a long way off. I still have so many things to change. Remember that the battle is half won when you identify and acknowledge the areas you need to grow. And when you see those areas you need to grow, the areas you need to change, ask the Holy Spirit to help you, strengthen you.
Remember, treasure this Bible. God's word reflects his character. I told you, the thing that Satan fears most is the word of God.
In your heart.
In your heart.
Mm.
It's the seed. Come closer to this word. Read it. Meditate on it. And the character of God will begin to develop in you. You feed your spirit. You feed your soul. And faith grows. Before you realize it, you will see your life begin to change.
Mm.
You begin to have a strength you never had before. You begin to pray differently. You begin to think differently. It means something is growing. When a baby is growing, you don't realize it. When the tree is growing, you don't realize it. Something is growing deep in your spirit. The river starts in your spirit before you have consciousness of it.
Mm.
If you see a well, the water comes from underground. But the water starts boiling from your spirit.
Mm.
Rivers of living water, rivers of love, rivers of peace begin to flow from your spirit to your mind on the outside. I mean, if your heart and your mind with meditation are filled with the word of God, you will speak words of life. And when you do, Holy Spirit will come. Thank you. Your prayer will be answered.
Amen.
God bless you. Please, we encourage everybody. Don't just read the word. Apply the word of God. That's the big difference. We are not here just to read the word, but to apply the word in our life, in your prayer life. How do you apply it? When you are praying, fill your prayer with scriptures. When you read the Bible, you should be praying. If I open, okay, I open my Bible and read. You say, what man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his life from the power of the grave? I just read it. I say, wow. I mean, I cannot escape death. It will happen to everybody. Lord, what is the answer? Eternal life. That's how you should read the Bible. When you are reading it, questions should come. What's the meaning of this? Is it true for me? Ask that question. That's my secret. Anytime you read something, ask yourself, is it true for me? How can I apply this? That's where the process of meditation begins. When God knows you have a heart to understand, he will come to help you and open your understanding. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us in today's episode 2 of the burning questions that are in your heart. And we believe that God has blessed you today through the word of God and by his spirit.
A new week is coming. When you are reading your Bible every day, take a pen. When you come across a verse or something that struck your mind, write it. So when we come together, you can bring your question to bless everybody. Don't just let it go. Write. Prophet Elisha taught you and me. He say, don't go. Remember, don't go message. He say, when you read the Bible, open a book called Don't Go. Mean you met a word, this is a treasure. Don't allow it to leave you. Write it down. Read it. Meditate. Check that verse. That's how the verse is coming from my heart. I apply what he taught me. I don't just read the Bible. I will make sure it becomes part of me. Don't let it go from your heart. Don't let it go from your mouth. Let it be the part of you. And that word will lead you to pray supernaturally. Holy Ghost will come. So please write down if you don't understand. Next time you're open to ask questions, by the help of Holy Ghost, answer will come. Amen.
Amen. So we look forward to seeing you next week again for another session. The University of God app. I do hope you've subscribed to the app. If you haven't subscribed, then please, what are you waiting for? We want you to go deeper in your relationship with God. And it's a commitment to go deeper because we do have exclusive content there. We also have monthly meetings. And there's different exercises going on with different interactive prayer and personal prayer. So please don't miss out on all that God wants to take you to. Remember what we said. Are you the student that sits in the back of the classroom or the front of the classroom? It's up to you. So please make sure that you, if you believe that this ministry is sent to you from God, then make sure that you go deeper in the Word of God. And one of the ways you can do that is by subscribing to the UOG app and becoming a member of the household of faith.
Develop your relationship with the Holy Spirit by reading your Bible, meditate on it daily, and you grow in faith. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you. Get ready.
Thank you.